What the EFL is the Football League podcast that thinks we go way too early on Christmas music in this country. I'm done with you, Mariah Carey. Coming up, a derby more than 20 years in the making, some championship six-pointers, big games at the top of Leagues 1 and 2, and Clark steps off the gas. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. And we're a day later than usual, which is going to give us a chance to look ahead rather than look back primarily on this week's show. It's me, Matt Davis Adams. I am joined by Sam Parkin. How are you doing, Sam?
Very good. Yeah, no, I'm enjoying all the festivities. I was in Sainsbury's the other day. Glorious. Just came back with loads of stuff we didn't need. Copious amounts of mince pies. Stollen. Big Stollen fan.
Stollen. Love Stollen.
Yeah. Cheaper the better, I always think. Yeah, don't bother with your M&S and your Waitrose where that's concerned. Just get the one cheap and cheerful. Beautiful. Came back with a Christmas jumper. Not really my bag, but wore it on the golf course yesterday and was distinctly average.
Cheap is fine. Make sure you don't steal it because then it really will be Stollen. Adrian Clark is back with us as well. You set him up, Sam, and I'll tap him in. How you doing, Clarky?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right. I think we've gone through two big boxes of Quality Street already, so I'm kind of over the chocolates. But I disagree on the music. I think Christmas songs are kind of dead to me on the 26th. So there's a short window, and I think we should just embrace the brilliance of all those Christmas classics.
See, I differ from you. I like dragging it through the funny period. I like dragging Christmas out. I don't go early, but then between Christmas Day and New Year's Day, I like dragging it out and watching Christmas films. Yeah, just like, you know, getting in that mental state that...
Maybe I'm doing it wrong.
The world is halted and we can just all lie on the sofa and eat chocolates.
If only that was the way for us. But no, we work in football. Right, before we get going, our partners Quinbet have an offer for you where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. Right, as I said, we are going to be looking ahead rather than backward. But Clarky, you wanted to give a mention just to a couple of things that happened last weekend. And I think there's going to be a goal scored by a certain Leicester City footballer that might come in to your thinking here.
Definitely. I mean, it was, we've got to mention it. Obviously, we're looking ahead, but that Fatawu goal is, you know, that's a contender, isn't it, for the big sort of FIFA prize. What's it called again?
Puskás Award.
The Puskás Award, yeah. I mean, what makes it amazing for me is the nutmeg as well. So he's megged him from quite a distance and then an unbelievable strike, really, from Fatawu, who does love to do that. He's got a habit of shooting for his own half. And normally his teammates batter him for it. But yeah, he did brilliantly there. I just thought that was worth a mention. Obviously, Norwich beating Southampton. Finally, they've sort of got going at home. But I don't know if you saw the goal, the handball for the winner from Makamu. It was just a definite handball, which has sort of brought up the should you have VAR light, not VAR, but VAR light, where you can have a couple of challenges. That is being talked about, I believe. So that was a bit of a miscarriage for the Saints and Preston North End up to third. I mean, how's that happened? No idea.
The crazy table. Sam, before you chip in, I just got to get this away. Abdul Fatawu started his career at Steadfast, then went on loan to Dreams. That's all. Off you go.
Let's get this right. And I said this on the TV a fortnight ago. Kenny McLean has started a trend, has he not? And apologies to listeners if I said this on a previous one of our podcasts, but there's been five at least goals from players in their own half since he scored that wonder goal in the qualifying game. Tyler Adams, obviously the one that jumps out immediately for Bournemouth at Sunderland, but they've been raining in the EFL as well.
And while you bring up Kenny McLean, I don't know if you saw the penalty save in the game against Southampton from Adam Armstrong, but he has taken on the role, McLean, of... So he stood on the D watching the penalty takers run up and he starts pointing one way for the goalie and then at the last moment he changes it and goes that way. And the keeper did go that way and he saved it. I've never seen it before where an outfielder is basically telling the goalkeeper where to go. Well, it worked because it was genius. So, yeah, well done, Kenny.
Just thinking back to when he had to watch Sam try and recover from some nausea in the summer with his wife. He's done well to build on that and move on, hasn't he?
I didn't speak to him directly, but we had the obviously the wonder of St Mirren winning the Premier Sports Cup, I think it's called, on Sunday. So that brought back lovely memories and saw a lot of old footage and photos of me and Kenny McLean, Stephen Thompson and John McGinn and what have you. So just a little mention for the Saints of Paisley, the buddies, because what a result that is against Celtic.
Worth a mention, but you have killed my segue. I was going to say someone else who needs to move on is Daryl Clark. This from the, yeah, that felt inevitable file of managerial dismissals. P45 by Bristol Rovers following a run of 10 straight defeats. They're now looking for their fourth permanent manager in the space of a year. Good news for you, Clark. It might well be your old mate, Steve Evans.
Yeah, well, he's half the man he used to be, apparently. Lost a lot of timber as Steve. He will always get employed because he is a manager that can make things happen. Whether you love him or hate him, he will get a tune out of players. Yeah, if you don't buy into his way, he'll get rid of you and he'll get players in that do buy in. So, yeah, no, they had to make the change. Was it 10 on the spin? It was quite remarkable, really, that Daryl Clark had survived that long. I think probably his relationship with the club bought him a few extra games there. But yeah, I was speaking to someone from the Bristol paper yesterday on the radio and they were saying that he's been chopping and changing the formation, back three, back four, back three, back four. And it's just, yeah, been confused. And I think this was in the post for a while.
The risk for Steve Evans, Sam, if he does go there, isn't it? Because he doesn't like being in League Two at the best of times. He might be in non-league if he's not careful.
Yeah, and listen, I've never worked for either of the chaps, Daryl Clark or Steve Evans, but I would suggest there's similarities with the two, the way they set their teams up. It's about togetherness, hard work, fine margins in terms of being good at set pieces and what have you. And I would have felt that Daryl Clark going in with those attributes as well as his history at Bristol Rovers, it would have been the perfect match. I remember being there in the spring last year when they were relegation threatened but still had a little bit of movement potentially, and I just thought the place was a bit of a mess. And I've always liked the Memorial Ground because it's really unique, it's got something about it, it's quite old school. And I just, speaking to a few of the people around the club, it just felt like there wasn't much joined up thinking. They were trying to play quite easy on the eye football, and I didn't think they had the players. There was a softness about them. And I think in the spring they beat Bolton at home and they didn't win for 10 games. So this has been a hangover from last season. And Daryl got that little pick up, didn't he, when they went on a bit of an unbeaten run, five wins and two draws. But yeah, as Clarkey says, to subsequently lose 10 straight, you can't highlight one area. They're not scoring. They're shipping loads at the other end. So I think he inherited a bit of a mess, in truth, but having had a huge overhaul of the squad, you, as owners, you've got to see results, and they clearly haven't seen that. So it's another change, but whether Steve Evans can affect things, given that Daryl Clark couldn't, I would be surprised. I would be surprised if this isn't a really challenging season, scrambling for their survival, especially given that Steve Evans' last gig didn't go particularly well either at Rotherham, and everyone thought that was probably a tap in to lead to success, given his track record at the club.
Right, well, they are second from bottom as it stands ahead of their next game, which is at Crewe on Friday. Andy Wing got sacked by Barrow after he recorded last week. Neil McDonald in caretaker charge there, and second favourite as things stand to get the gig on a permanent basis. Third favourite, according to Odds Checker at least, is Leighton Baines. Give it to him, I say, and let's just see what he can do. All right, we are going to get into some previews next. And all eyes on South Wales on Friday night, where Swansea and Wrexham meet for the first time since 2003. To put that into context, Roberto Martinez was in the Swansea team and Darren Ferguson lined up for Wrexham. Swansea 4 points above the relegation zone. Lost six of their last eight, Sam, but looks like there were some signs of life at Stoke for them in defeat last weekend. Had more possession shots and almost double the XG. So maybe Vitor Matos starting to make an impact.
I think so, absolutely, yeah. And he was quick to talk about having a bit of a lack of aggression in that game from his side. So yeah, maybe that's one of the ingredients he's looking to instill. I don't think it's going to be really akin to maybe what Swansea have been previously in terms of the prettiness of their play and the amount of possession they're going to have. But he's going to want to, you know, have a real aggressive look to the side. They're going to go and press with intensity. I think the improvement's probably been in the attacking numbers and the amount they were able to create here. Yeah, so I think he's got a little bit more cohesion probably out of the forward players. And he did have that fight in the previous two games because they won on paper two pretty kind-looking fixtures. The Liberty against Pompey and Oxford, two games that they had to win, really, given their position in the table. So yeah, definitely positive steps the last few weeks. Played well at Stoke without getting a result. Obviously lost to, you know, two very, very good finishes. Pearson's in particular was a wonder goal. I just wanted to flag the most interesting stat that I picked up having a little look over the last couple of days. Their record, and if Clarkie's seen this, against teams 18th and below, played six, won six. Swansea record against teams 17th and above, 15 games, zero wins. So yeah, I mean, I don't know what category Wrexham fall into. They're above Swansea currently, so that one. But it's a game where, you know, they're relatively tight in the table against them. All Welsh affair. What that brings, the fact that they have improved, I think Swansea the last couple of games. Yeah, I fancy them to get something here against Wrexham in what should be a, you know, a really good atmosphere on Friday night.
Mm. Talk me out, Clarkie, of this being a nailed-on draw. Wrexham have had 10 of them in the league this season and they haven't won away since September.
Yeah, it does feel like a draw, I've got to be honest. I can't talk you out of that. I also think it could be low-scoring, even though Wrexham have got a plethora of really good attackers and that Swansea are trying to play more attacking football. You look at the last seven away games for Wrexham, all of them have seen a maximum of two goals. So, and Wrexham just aren't scoring freely on the road. I think they won 3-2 at Norwich in September. Since then, they've not scored more than one goal in an away game. So they've got issues in that regard. So it'd be interesting to see whether they go for it or not in this game. It should be blood and thunder, but will Wrexham be a bit more circumspect? We'll have to wait and see. They did rest a few the other day against Watford. I saw Ben Sheaf didn't start. Rathbone come off the bench to score. Broadhead and Hardy also came on. I mean, they've got some real depth, haven't they, Wrexham? But when you look at the numbers over the course of the season, they have faced more shots than anyone else. They will give you opportunities, Wrexham. So, yeah, I got a feeling this. If ever there was a nailed on one all draw, it could be this one. Yeah,
I'm with you there. Right, at the Valley, meanwhile, two teams keen to put some space between themselves and trouble. It's Charlton taking on Oxford. Charlton have slumped to 17th, only 5 points above the relegation zone. Lost their last two at home, but Clarkie, they might come into this one with a bit of confidence because that was a morale-boosting draw at Birmingham last week.
Yeah, it's a classic, has it stopped the rot goal, isn't it? You know, really from Tyrese Campbell. So, yeah, really good result to draw at Birmingham and, yeah, that losing streak's ended. But yeah, this is a big game, isn't it? We talked about Swansea ticking off the wins against the bottom teams. Well, Charlton have got to do that now over Christmas. They've got Oxford here, then they got Norwich, then they got Pompey, then you got a game against Coventry, but then they got Blackburn. All of those games between now and sort of January the 4th. So this is a really big period for Nathan Jones. They've had a hard run of games, they've conceded a lot of goals. I'm sure morale's been knocked a little bit, but now they've got winnable matches. And this is the test, really, I think, for Charlton. Because I always see them as a team that can stay in games, they're well organised, they'll fight and they'll battle and stuff. But can they go out in games where they might have a lot more of the ball and hurt the opposition? And let's see what they've got. And I think Nathan Jones will also be saying to his strikers, this patch of games, you got to deliver for us. Because they're just not, are they, the strikers? I mean, Sonny Carey's got five. The strikers, Tyrese Campbell got his first goal of the season the other day. Alafay's got one. Miles Leeburn, one. Kelman, one. I mean, these guys have got to come to the party, haven't they, and start to deliver. So, yeah, be interested to see how they approach this. They've got to look at it, Charlton, as we must win this game. Because if they don't win it, it suddenly becomes a bit of a crisis and you're looking over your shoulder at the bottom three from a position where a few weeks ago they might have been targeting the playoffs. So, yeah, huge game this for Charlton. I'm fascinated to see how they go.
I had totally forgotten about Charlie Kelman. What a contrast from last season to this for him. Sam, Oxford, one of your favourite teams to talk about. And we did that at length when they beat Ipswich the other week. But that's their only victory in their last 9 games, and they start this weekend in the relegation zone.
Yeah, this is a big game, I think, and yeah, it'll be a tough battle. I think two of the worst teams in the division currently. I think Charlton are bottom of the form guide. What over the last 6, Oxford not too far away, and again, like I spoke with Swansea a few moments ago, I think it was a pretty good performance in that defeat at home to Preston North End. They conceded both their shots on target. There's a bit of a weakness from set pieces, ironically, from Oxford. They've conceded 12, which you just wouldn't anticipate them probably under previous management and also under Gary Rowett. So that's something he's got to iron out. They changed the system for that game against Preston North End, put an extra centre-half in, played quite a physical front two in Prelec and Lancashire. And all sense and purposes, it looked to be working. I think they'd caused a few problems themselves from dead balls. That physicality had actually worked quite well. But ultimately, they lost the game. They lost their way when he replaced those two with Harris and Bradshaw. So he's got a lot of food for thought, I think, from, you know, this little run of games where after beating Ipswich and playing pretty well, me and Clarkey were obviously both there. I've been really surprised at the drop-off. I don't think it helps having Brannigan absent. Poeheto as well, who obviously came on and changed that game, not around at the weekend either. So, you know, I don't think it's a brilliant squad. And when you lose a few, you get really tested. And I think ultimately, probably what we spoke about around the Ipswich game, I think, you know, Gary Rowett has tried to change Oxford in the off-season and the start of this season and quickly realised they don't really have the legs. They probably don't have the personnel to be able to out-football side. So having, you know, gone back to what has been so successful for him as a manager, it means it's tight games, mean that it's fine margins. And at the moment, they're on the wrong end of some results. So listen, he's getting a bit of grief, Gary, from the Oxford supporters, but I have sympathy for him. I have sympathy for him because staying in the division again this season would be a hell of an achievement. And yeah, whether he'll be there long term, we'll have to wait and see. But I think for the moment, there's no one better to try and stabilise them in the Championship another season. Under 2.5 goals again for me, please.
All right. To paraphrase the Kaiser Chiefs then, I would stick with Rowett. Stick with Gary Rowett. Another big game.
Where's that come from? I mean, I like it. Where's that come from?
You know, years ago on TalkSport, there was a feature our friend and colleague Tom Rennie did called "I'll Chant to Anything." And it was when Rowett got sacked from Birmingham, what would be an appropriate chant to that? And I came up with, I would stick with Rowett. That's the etymology of that particular piece of work. I'm glad to be able to bring it to a wider audience today, but we should move on to another big game at the bottom of the Championship is at Pride Park. Derby hosting Portsmouth. More significant, you'd say, for Portsmouth in terms of relegation strife. This after Derby won 3-0 at Sheffield Wednesday on Monday. Well done. He's on minus 9 points. Say something nice about them, Clarkie, before I get carried away and we lose listeners.
Say something nice about who?
Derby.
Derby. I mean, they did well, didn't they? They saw off Sheffield Wednesday with comfort. Yeah, very, very comprehensive. And they're doing it without Carlton Morris. And I think a lot of Derby fans were panicking when he went lame, you know, for he's going to be out for ages now, isn't he? So yeah, they've come in, and yeah, that was a good performance, and Adjumang obviously with a couple of goals was decent. I was going to talk about Pompey in this game. I think it's a huge game for Pompey.
You've saved me there. I've got a note next to this saying that you're talking about Portsmouth, and I've just completely ignored that.
It's all right.
You've managed to wing it, and that shows what a pro you are.
On Pompey, obviously great result against Blackburn and the weekend. Blackburn, a dangerous team on the road, terrible at home, we know, but they've got some big away wins, Blackburn. So that was a wonderful result. They ground it out. I think there were some positives to take. Connor Chaplin looked like the old Connor Chaplin, playing at 10, busy, lively, created 5 chances. He was at it. Murphy, we know, is the main man, really, at Pompey. He's superb, Josh Murphy, down the left. So they got 2 players that, you know, in decent form ahead of this trip. Marlon Pack, I think, will come back probably, even though they won, he was suspended. I think he'll have to come back into that midfield and add a little bit more bite to it. And then what we might see is Callum Lang move from striker to right wing. That's what happened halfway through the win against Rovers, and bring in Colby Bishop. So I look at that front four and I think they've got match winners. They really have got match winners. If Derby aren't at it, I think they can go and hurt them. It's just whether they can produce a performance on the road. Like, they've done nothing all season, really, away from home. 6 points from 9 away games. It's not great. So, yeah, can the sort of you know, young rear guard that they've got hold firm here, and can those four go and win the game? And if they can get a win in this game, which I would say they can, because Derby are a little bit depleted, it could kickstart the season. It would take a lot of heat off of John Mousinho. So I see this as a really big game, and actually an opportunity for them to go and show that they're not just a team that's going to pick up points at Fratton Park.
Yeah, it's interesting because I saw them last time they were in the East Midlands at Leicester and was impressed with them. But since then, only taken 7 points. Derby, though, Sam, no wins in their last three home games, losing two of them. They're kind of two steps forward, two steps back team this season, it seems to me.
Yeah, but I think 6 weeks ago, people would have had them down as relegation candidates. And I think that John Eustace, probably for the first time, was getting quite a lot of criticism from the Derby support. So to be in this position now, incredible, really. I anticipated them having a good season. I thought they'd be pushing top half. And that's how it maybe seems. We can kind of write off the bigger picture, I suppose, after that comfortable win at Sheffield Wednesday, because that was as limp Wednesday have been, I think, this season. I think Derby limited them to one shot on the target, which came once they were 3-0 down. So that could have been anything. You know, they were far superior to Sheffield Wednesday, which is sad to see. But, you know, credit to Derby, especially those midfield absences you speak of. I never would have anticipated Liam Thompson and Clark, Bobby Clark, being their midfield too. Deeper role for Clark. Played really, really well. Adjumang finishing superbly, first brace in the EFL, so he looks like a good player. And interestingly, as you just said, Matt, only three home wins in 11, which, you know, coming into the season, I would have anticipated that being their strength and that keeping them in the division and taking them maybe into the top half. Only Middlesbrough and Coventry taking more away points, which caught me a little bit off guard. And only had 18 points away last season, the entirety, 17 already this season. So vastly improved. But yeah, for that reason, not a gimme by any stretch after Pompey got that incredibly big win for them last time out. And yeah, it doesn't feel like it's a new thing, them struggling away from home. I remember them losing last knockings at Coventry, which is no shame in that, back end of last season. That's finding that formula, isn't it, to be competitive, I suppose, on the road when you haven't got that vociferous Fratton Park crowd. But they were good value, Pompey, for that win against Blackburn. Don't be fooled, because it came relatively late and they were a goal behind. They played well, deserved the win. And I sat next to a Pompey fan yesterday having a Christmas lunch. Look at me, so it's Santa Claus. And he was fully behind John Mousinho. And I think that they are balanced, that the squad in comparison to the teams that they're fighting against is not great. And that it's an incredibly challenging, you know, time for John Mousinho, you know, when he hasn't got the luxuries of some of the other managers at the level. And, you know, if they're to stay up this season, it would be a stellar job done once more.
Lots of intriguing games in the Championship then. We're going to take a look at a couple that come under that bracket in League One next. At Sinsel Bank, third place Lincoln, hosting the leaders Cardiff. Lincoln having let a two-goal lead slip at Blackpool last weekend. Only lost one of their last five in the league, though. And they're pretty good at home, Clarkie, right? They'll need to be for this game. But 7 wins from 10 at Sinsel Bank will give them some confidence here.
Massive, yeah. 4 in the spin as well. So, yeah, look, they're flying on home turf. It's a good atmosphere there. You know, they sort of pack it out these days, Lincoln City. It's not an easy away trip, this, and they'll try and, you know, they'll press hard and they'll try and unsettle Cardiff and try and be strong and use those counters and turnovers to hurt them. Set plays are always big, I think, for Lincoln. We scored 9 goals from corners and free kicks. I think only 2 teams have got more than them. So, you know, they will make this uncomfortable. If you're looking for weaknesses in the Cardiff team, it's definitely inexperience at the back and maybe, you know, not a poncho, but like they can be got at. I think you can maybe potentially rough them up. And I think that's what Lincoln will try and do here. I'd be interested to see what they do in terms of shape. They went with a back 5 at Blackpool, which was unexpected. They did a 4-4-2 against Port Vale, but normally it's a 4-2-3-1. So it'd be interesting to see what Skubala does. Will he keep that back five for the visit of a Cardiff team that have loads of goal threats? We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I think this is a tricky away game for Cardiff City, and I think Lincoln have got it in their armoury to potentially win the game. They're a bit open. They do face a lot of shots, Lincoln City, but they can ruffle feathers as well. So yeah, I think this should be a good full-blooded League One fixture.
And there's an X factor here, Sam, isn't there? You're going to watch Cardiff tonight as we record play Chelsea in the Carabao Cup quarterfinal. It's not as if Brian Barry Murphy's going to be resting players for that game ahead of Saturday. So how impactful could midweek be on the weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. And tonight will be interesting because it probably similarities to a game I saw earlier on in the competition between Huddersfield and Manchester City, where, you know, Huddersfield tried to play football against the Premier League side and weren't successful in doing that. But it's a bit of a rarity. You know, normally when you go down the divisions, they'll try and rough them up and try and be direct and probably hope that could prey on the weaknesses of the stellar Premier League players. But tonight we'll see a team that are really comfortable in possession, have got good footballers across the piece. I was surprised to see at Stevenage the other day, you know, limited them to absolutely next to nothing, Cardiff, in their 1-0 win there. So they'll have to perform in a similar vein. Clarkey's bang on. I mean, it's one of the gaffes you'd want a season ticket this season, because there's some calamitous defending at times. They can probably be susceptible to set pieces, which Lincoln are obviously brilliant at, and they give away a lot of chances. That's their second 4-3 home victory of the season after beating Doncaster at the weekend. But they've got some brilliant forward players. As I touched on, they can all handle the ball. Wintle and Robertson in midfield are terrific, I think, at recycling the ball for their team. The two wide players at the moment, Davis on one side, Ashford are flyers. They move with the ball brilliantly, and they got, you know, a centre forward who, if you source the box, he will finish, Salak. So they're really good entertainment. I heard him speak the other day, Brian Barry Murphy, and it is a bit of an anomaly, I think, having so many young lads that have come through the system around the first team, and he's really tapping into that. I don't know if it's the stadium, but it does feel very different to Ninian Park when you go and watch Cardiff play. It's not that, you know, ferocious atmosphere that I'm sure Clarkey experienced, and I certainly did on a few occasions. So it's a bit different.
It was tough.
Maybe been a bit of a disconnect. So having those young local lads probably helps, and some good experienced lads as well to lead. So yeah, that'd be a good game. That'd be a good game, a real test for them. And similarities to a League Two game we're going to go on and talk about. This is, you know, very much a physical Lincoln side here against, I suppose, the most easy on the eye side in League One in terms of the way they play football. So be a nice culture clash.
All right, before we get to said League Two game, let's put another League One match on the bill. It is Bolton going to Adams Park to face the Wanderers of Wickham. Sam, classic EFL stuff this. You look away for a second and a team who are flying are suddenly falling. One win in five for the Chair boys now. They failed to score in their last four in all comps. What's gone wrong?
Yeah, haven't scored.
not going to win many games.
No, I think the bigger picture is still okay, relatively. I was going to say rosy. I think that's probably a bit of a stretch, but what, 20 points from his 12 games under Michael Duff, 5 points from the first eight under Dodd. So I think obviously he still has the backing. I think the squad, despite obviously having, you know, new owners and I would say a decent budget for the level, it's shown it has limitations, I think, at the moment. And funnily enough, it's at centre forward. I think of last year, Kone, Udo, he's always got a lot of love from us. Obviously, Onyedimma's had not a bad season so far. Hanlon they had. Sadlier, Vokes, obviously, as the kind of deputy for Kone. All of a sudden, you got Woodrow, who's a player I've always rated and capable of a spectacular, nice footballer. And you've got a Swiss forward called Fink, who they paid quite big money for, who's only had the odd start. He's not really had that run in the side, which I think's hindered him a little bit. But yeah, absolutely, the options have diminished in attack. I think Sam Bell's maybe had a decent return on the other side from Onyedimma. So you're relying on your wire players to be really consistent, and those two chaps haven't been, you know, big goal scorers during their careers so far. So I think that's where the problem lies. I would expect them to probably roll the dice a little bit in January. and he's dealing with, you know, a squad that's lacking some experience in Schoen, Henderson, Taylor Allen as well, who they brought in, Abbott, who had that brilliant loan spell last year at Notts County. So there's four players that are not available at the moment. So yeah, I think there's mitigating circumstances, but maybe the reality is that Wickham are not quite ready to have another, you know, tilt at the championship, and their opponents at the weekend certainly are.
Yes, it would look that way, wouldn't it, Clarkie? Bolton scoring two late goals to turn a 1-0 deficit into a 2-1 win against Exeter. And they've got real momentum, haven't they? 3 points off the automatics, unbeaten in seven, won five of those, all looking good.
Yeah, I sort of nailed my colours to the Bolton mask quite early on this season. And at times they've made me look a bit silly with their inconsistency. But I think they are up there with Cardiff as being the strongest team in the division. The numbers are ridiculous in terms of how much stronger they are than anyone, really. The best expected goals against, the most shots in the division. They've faced 39 fewer shots than anyone else. Luton, by the way, and faced the second fewest, which I thought was quite surprising. Now that they're a good team, and like you say, they've got momentum. And what's really impressive is that The five wins and two draws in the last seven have come when really the Cozy Adubri and Mason Burstow have sort of dried up a little bit. Cozy Adubri's been unbelievable this season with goals and assists, some amazing goals. He hasn't delivered anything in the last four. Mason Burstow, top scorer, hasn't scored in nine. You know, so they've found a way to sort of not rely on those two good young players. And yeah, I just think they're a very rounded team that can go and hurt you by knocking it around and out footballing you. They can hurt you on the counter. And they're also pretty solid when they want to be without the ball. So, yeah, the only sort of negative this season, I think, for Bolton has been the away form. But their only two away wins have come in recent weeks. So I think that's, they'll definitely view this game as one against the Wickham team that, you know, a little bit low. They'll view this as winnable for sure. And yeah, they'll try and out football them. Obviously, they've got to get through the press of Wickham with Duff. We know that they'll work hard, but if they can play around them, I think Bolton have got talent in forward areas that can win them this game and maybe win it with a degree of comfort.
All right, time will tell on that. In League Two, Magpies and Saddlers. Now, there's a working title for a low-wattage Sunday night ITV drama, if ever I've heard one. Also an accurate descriptor of Notts County v Walsall, which is 100 watts worth of drama, if ever you've seen it. Can you see Watts, though? I don't think you can. Let's move on quickly. Notts, Adrian, I think we may owe Martin Patterson a little bit of an apology. We were quite underwhelmed by his appointment.
Oh, no, I think it was Sam that battered him. But, yeah, no, no, neither of us.
He's still scary. I'd still, you know, like probably pay for a ringside seat against for him against Nathan Jones or something of similar ilk.
It's interesting
Matt's face. Matt wants it.
Alex Neil, yeah. Yeah.
He's going to pitch it for the next ex-professional footballer's boxing evening.
I think it would be a must-watch TV. He is a bit, he said this week, actually, I was reading some of his quotes, he said, I am grumpy. I'm very rarely satisfied, and I'm going to have to try and park that grumpiness, he said, after they won at Grimsby with a clean sheet, even though I think they rode their luck at Grimsby a little bit. They're not watertight at all, Notts County, but they can score goals, and that's why this game is really intriguing. Against teams currently in the top six this season, Notts County have conceded at least twice in all those games. This might be a match where Patterson thinks we've got to outscore Walsall. And he's got two guys at the top end of the pitch that are absolutely lethal. Matt Dennis, 10 goals. Alessandro Giatta, 8. Year in, year out, these two bang them in, don't they? They're very reliable. But what's impressive this year is they're both way ahead of what their XG says that they should be. So they've been particularly clinical this season. They only had two shots on target at Grimsby. Bang, bang, goal both times. So with those two at the top end, they've always got a chance. And they're not reliant on one person to create chances either. I was having a look at who's laying on all these chances for the front two. Well, I think you can look down at a list of at least 8 players that have made double figure chances and key passes this season. So yeah, a lot to like going forward, but I think they'll be, Notts fans will be a bit nervous about Walsall and whether they can keep them out at the other end. It should be a cracker.
Yeah, Walsall, Sam, surprisingly held at home by Shrewsbury, but they have won their last three away league games. So grateful to their striker as well, saying "Nwankwo" very much to Daniel Kanu at the moment.
Yeah,
laboured that, wasn't it? Absolutely laboured. You were right to scowl.
Well, I've seen both these teams live this year, and they do it very differently, but they're both excellent sides. Notts County, I saw at Cheltenham, they were brilliant on that night. And yeah, I'm glad Clarkey's spoken about those centre forwards. And I almost left Matt Dennis out of this because he had an unbelievable start to the season, if memory serves. And he had to bide his time when he, I think, was left out for a couple, and he preferred Jatta Patterson. But yeah, he's got the option of playing those as a two. I mean, have we ever had so many good strikers in the bottom division? Michael Cheek, we've been banging on about for years because of obviously his goal returns a joke. Drinnen having the season of his life at Swindon, and obviously these two chaps here, Jatta, who I think he's a goal scorer, but I think his all-round game is right up there. And then you've got Kanu, who it's hard not to feel sorry for the Walsall fans already, because there's just an inevitability about what will probably happen in January. I think he's there till January. With what we said about Charlton earlier on in the podcast today, I mean, Nathan Jones is going to have to seriously consider recalling him, which would be, yeah, we all know about Nathan Lowe, but it happened with Freddie Draper as well, previously for Walsall. They'll have contingency plan because they'll have to, because they've been burnt before. And obviously I think the recruitment has been so strong at Walsall, you know, you have to credit them for getting these lads in first and foremost, and then getting a tune out of them. That's just not a click of the fingers. So they've done brilliantly in that regard, and they'll be planning already for the worst case scenario. I think Ryan Finnegan as well, midfield players, another one that falls into that category of a loanee, could be recalled. So they may have some work to do in off the pitch in January. But yeah, didn't win against Shrewsbury last time out, but I've had a bit of a wobble previously, but they've responded. Three wins in four, unbeaten in four, and Shrewsbury have much improved. You know, I'd written them off a month ago as relegation certainty. So they've only lost 2 in 10. So I think that's a tougher game than maybe what it looks on the face of it. So yeah, this will be a colossal clash. The lowest possession against one of the most heavy possession sides. Big set piece threat for Walsall. 12 goals they've scored in that regard. So yeah, it's how well they deal with Notts County's passing game. If they play 2 tens, how they deal with that. If they play the two-pronged attack, how they do with those really good front players. And it's how Notts County deal with Walsall's physicality, basically, in their organisation, which is always their strong suit.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about Daniel Kanu, and if Nathan Jones does do the dirty and recall him, what he should do is offload one of these misfiring strikers and say, look, I'll have Kanu back, but you can have, I don't know who it might be, who would suit them. I don't know, Miles Leeburn, Charlie Kilman, one of these guys, Tyrese Campbell, someone that hasn't been scoring the goals at championship level. That's the right thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, sounds like a good deal to me.
It'd probably be someone further down the pecking order, though, unfortunately, wouldn't it? But Walsall to go to League Two, I think all those guys will feel they can contribute. Well, or go to League One if they're not going to get game time, is the reality, isn't it?
Predictions. We're rounding up the pod now, but I wanted to make a big deal of this because last week I got two perfect scores. Absolutely fantastic stuff on my part. So it's three. I haven't got a correct score in years. I believe it's 3 points for a correct score. So that meant that I got 6 points in total. Sam and Adrian just one apiece. So am I leading the way now, Clarkie?
Oh, let's have a look. So let's get the scores on the doors up. So you got 6, Matt. So you're on to 29. Sam got 1?
Yeah.
33. I got 1.
Yeah.
38. So look, you're back in the mix.
Much needed that, wasn't it, for the neutral?
I think so, yeah.
Biding my time, late charge.
It's not even a halfway stage yet, Matt. So, you know, you're in the hunt for it.
You two are in trouble. This week, first game up is Blackburn against Millwall. Winner's privilege, so I'll go first. 0-2. Adrian?
Yeah, look, it's screams away win because, you know, Millwall have got some good ones this season. Blackburn can't buy a win at home. But they're missing Femi Aziz, which is a bit of a blow for them. And I think they'll be smarting, Blackburn Rovers, from that loss at Pompey. So I'm going to back them for the rare win at Ewood Park, Blackburn 2, Millwall 1. This is a big game for Rovers, and I think they're going to bring it.
Wow. Sam?
I was tempted for Lightning to strike for the 700th time and Mill win 1-0, but having you gone for that, Matt will extend it to 2-0. I am more than happy to settle on the 1-1. More than happy.
Well, you can have first go at the League One game, which is Doncaster against Blackpool.
Cool. That is a toss of a coin. That, I mean, there is no consistency from either. I will go for Blackpool to get it right. They had a standout victory against Cardiff not so long ago. So I will go for Blackpool 2, Doncaster 1.
1-2. Adrian?
Yeah, look, Donny were gutted, weren't they? They got beat 4-3 at Cardiff, but they did look dangerous going forward. There's no shame in sort of conceding against this Cardiff attack. So I reckon that even though they lost the game, they've taken confidence from it. Blackpool, you're right. You don't know what you're going to get. Normally get goals, and I'm predicting goals here. I'm going to go for a crazy Doncaster 3, Blackpool 2 win.
Wow, I like it. 2-2 for me for that one. Adrian, you go first on Barrow-Cheltenham.
Yeah, I'm playing the percentages here. I'm going to go 3 home wins. Barrow, obviously, we don't know what's happening as we speak. Maybe there'll be an appointment by the weekend, in which case I think they'll be lifted against the Cheltenham team that aren't great. Barrow 2, Cheltenham 0.
That is me next then, and I am going to say that it will be a 1-1 draw. How about you, Sam?
Probably going to side with Clarke here. I thought he was going to be a bit of a curveball. Certainly done some work with Neil McDonald. So I will go for him to work some magic against Steve Cottrell. God, that's some experience in the dugout, isn't it? Cheltenham with a better team, but maybe a little bit of fresh impetus at Barrow. 1-0.
E-I-E-I-O. He goes. Good stuff. I'll let you know how we get on with that in our next show. Before we go, let me remind you of the offer from our partners Quinbet, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum 3 bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18+ and for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. If you like the show, tell somebody about it. Leave us a nice review. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. It's really helpful too, as it makes the podcast easier to find and we appreciate it. Last thing on our agenda, as ever, is Tweet of the Week. This one comes from Davis Keylor Dunn of Barnsley. He is quote tweeting the official account, which says a picture is worth 1,000 words, with a camera emoji and then tagging him into it. It's a picture of him scoring in front of what looks to be an entirely empty stand. He says, an honour to captain this football club, even better to score and win. So proud of the boys. Stick with us as a football club and we will make you proud. Heart emoji. I picked this, Sam, because it's a bit of a twist on the usual theme, right? We don't normally get people talking about captaincy. It's usually all about scoring and away support being incredible.
Well, it's a rarity, isn't it? I know he's a versatile customer and doesn't always play as a number 9, but it's a rarity for a centre forward in the lower divisions probably to have the armband. I had it once and I folded at QPR. Too emotional for me at about 3 touches. So yeah, I mean, if that was a packed out crowd, and it's never that end at Oakwell, seems to perennially be empty. Don't know for what reason. I know the away supporters are in there, but if that was
the away end, they're tucked in the side, aren't they? In the corner,
but you know, they could somehow get a few home bods in there, couldn't they? But if that was had a few people in there, that would be a great photo. That would be one going up on the wall, because I love that forward player wheeling off with a ball in the rigging. So I do like the photo. I'm not sure with the stick with us as a football club line. I think he's deserved of maybe a bit of a stick from his teammates when he walks in to get his training gear on this morning. But I like him. I didn't realise he was from Sunderland. So what a weekend for him, by the way.
Adrian, what do you reckon?
Yeah. It's a great picture. It's a great picture. I mean, obviously, the capital H on honour is badly misplaced, isn't it? You shouldn't be having a capital letter there. But yeah, look, it's good. I also don't know how I feel about footballers calling label it football club. There's a lot of footballers that say, yeah, this football club, football club, football club. It's just never a line that I've ever wheeled out. So on that score, I'm going to mark him down a little bit. But yeah, look, it's a little bit different. And what's interesting is that in the replies, it's basically don't leave in January. Everyone's just pleading with him to stick around. So clearly he's been linked with moves elsewhere, and he's just sticking his head above the parapet.
Is that a power move from the gaffer then, giving him the armband? Sorry, I've not looked at this intently, but yeah, a little carrot there for him.
Yeah,
nicely carried, chaps. Little interruption there as my Christmas beer was delivered, and the man was insistent on taking a photo of me pointing at it, maybe to show to my wife to say, look how much money he spent on this again.
What Christmas beer have you gone for, just out of interest?
Always try local if possible. Bit of a beer snob, craft not crap. So Round Corner Brewing and Blue Monkey, two of my local East Midlands based favourites, which my father-in-law will make short work of.
We need to get a new presenter here, Clarkie, don't we?
Glad I asked. Yeah, interesting.
Right, that'll do for this week then. Thanks to Sam, thanks to Adrian. Enjoy the football and we'll catch up with you soon.